The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The drug in marijuana that produces the high is called Delta 9 THC. It's a molecule found in some strains of the hemp plant. In states with legal marijuana, producers cultivate plants with lots of this type of THC to make edible or smokable products. In 2018, Congress passed a law making it legal to grow hemp as long as the plants didn't contain high concentrations of Delta 9 THC. The law kept those strains of hemp illegal.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, cannabis legalization. I just mixed two words, like Bennifer. Ben and Jennifer. That's a new one. Good afternoon. It's good to be back with you today. And no, I am not eating or smoking cannabis, even though I might sound like that. Cannabis legalization has gone global, as I was trying to get out. Take a look at it. And there's some gray areas. I want to talk about a couple things here. Marijuana, cannabis, hemp. I want to break down some of these products and talk to you about it. A lot of confusion over these CBD products that are now out. Those terms, marijuana, cannabis, and hemp are terms that sometimes are mistaken for one another. We know about marijuana. We know about the THC levels. We talked about weed in the past. CBD, I want to touch on that for a minute. And, you know, I know you might be using it. There was a listener who sent a bunch of CBD product to me one day for, there were bath bombs and there were oil rubs and there were things along those lines. And many people claim if you have really bad muscle ache or problems, these products are really good. CBD is a derivative of marijuana and hemp. And it's being touted as good for everything from inflammation to sleeplessness. People take these CBD gummies. It helps people with anxiety, epileptic seizures. It even, some say, counters the jittery effect of coffee and caffeine. And right now it's legal in states where I think medicinal and recreational marijuana is legal. I could be wrong on that. It's been a while since I dove into that. You might find it all across the country. I know you can probably go online and find it, but I hit WebMD very quickly just to take a look at some of these claims, and there's very little scientific evidence for treating all of those things. Yet people swear by it. You know, they swear by it. They say this is a natural product, and it will really help your problems. There are claims it helps quitting smoking, with drug withdrawals, with chronic pain, with Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, glaucoma, and the list goes on. So I thought today, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at hemp. Let's take a look at marijuana. Let's take a look at CBD and try to better understand what's being sold here. Marijuana, as you know, is, you know, we're a step away from it being potentially decriminalized. And we'll see if that happens. I talked about that big decision on Capitol Hill, I think it was probably a month ago. You probably see it sold in dispensaries, right, in states where it is legal. There still is, and I want to throw this out, there's still a federal list of prohibited drugs, and marijuana is on that, but it's being sold today, and people are using it in greater number. And today's weed is being grown with concentration levels of THC. That's the active ingredient that gives you that euphoric feeling. Much higher levels. The weed today is so much stronger than it was, many say, in the 60s and the 70s. And it is, as some say too, potentially a gateway drug. CBD and other derivatives of marijuana are being sold in stores everywhere. It's, you know, like I said, supposedly a tremendous aid in some of those problems I talked about. Hemp, on the other hand, close cousin to marijuana, it's been used for rope for centuries. And when the drug culture hit in the 60s and 70s, it got outlawed because the plant looks like the marijuana plant. Law enforcement officials couldn't tell the difference, just got banned. So there's a lot of confusion. Let's dive into this. As this becomes more common in our communities, what do you need to know? And is CBD something that is different than, let's say, the THC that you get from other edibles and from marijuana directly? Is CBD something that is ethical, moral, and maybe good to take? I'm joined today by the Executive Vice President of Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Luke Niferatos joins me today. And You can check them out. They've got a web link, a little different than their name. It's learnaboutsam.org. Learnaboutsam.org. Again, smart approaches to marijuana. Luke, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Drew, great to be here. Good afternoon to you, and God bless you and your whole family. Hope you're doing well.
God bless you. Thank you. I am. I'm doing well. I feel like I was all over the place there trying to, you know, throw all this stuff on the table. And I've been looking forward to talking to you about it because the CBD products really are growing in their popularity. Just maybe break down the definitions. What's the difference between marijuana, THC, CBD? What do people need to know in terms of how these things operate?
Yep, absolutely. And, I thought your word cannibization was actually an excellent word. I think I'm going to steal it, Drew.
There you go. I coined a new word.
It is the cannibization. Yes. I'm glad you're asking because, you know, very few people know the difference. And I think to some degree, there are folks who are thriving in the confusion of all these different terms. So I'm happy to set the record straight. So first of all, marijuana and cannabis are both referring to the same thing. Cannabis is the more scientific term, for the marijuana plant, but marijuana is also an accurate term for the marijuana plant as well. So those two words are interchangeable. They refer to the same thing, marijuana and cannabis. And then, you know, as it relates to THC and CBD, those are both components of the marijuana plant. The marijuana plant, a lot of people don't know this, the marijuana plant has more than 300 components. The most known one is THC. That's the ingredient that gets you high. That's what people smoke joints for. That's what they're doing to concentrates and the high potency marijuana and all that. It's all THC. And then CBD is another component. CBD does not get you high. So it's not a drug per se. It has some, anecdotal medical benefits, a lot of wild medical benefits that are completely false, which you alluded to some of those. CBD is another component that people are talking about, and obviously it's being sold all over the place. And we can get into the regulatory status of CBD and all that if you'd like to, Drew. But that's CBD, that's THC. Yeah. They're both components of the marijuana plant. And then you have hemp. And hemp is, as you mentioned, it looks similar to the marijuana plant. It even, kind of smells like it. But it is not, hemp is defined by the federal government. What was legalized by the federal government in 2018 and the 2018 Farm Bill is the hemp plant with less than 0.3% THC. And again, that's that ingredient that gets you high. So hemp, if it's grown properly, will not really have any THC in it. It, won't get you high. And it's, hemp has been used obviously for a long time as more of a textile, like, shirts, ropes, things like that. But what a lot of people didn't realize is that you can actually derive CBD from hemp. So you can have CBD derived from hemp. You can also have CBD derived from the marijuana plant. And so in the eyes of federal law and most state law, states that have legalized recreational marijuana, it's a little different. But in the eyes of federal law, CBD derived from hemp will eventually be legal. Right now, the regulatory framework hasn't been spelled out by the FDA, but CBD eventually will be legal when it's derived from hemp. But CBD derived from marijuana is not legal. So, and in terms of the differences between, where it's derived from, we don't really know of any stark differences, CBD, but that's just kind of spelling that out. So hopefully that clarifies it up a little bit for folks.
Yeah. So with CBD, do you get high with CBD or you don't?
You don't. No, you do not get high from CBD. The FDA has done some research on it, continues to do more research. We're seeing a lot more studies being done on CBD. Basically, where we stand with CBD is this. The FDA has approved a drug called Epidiolex, which is pure CBD. And that drug you can get a prescription for a very rare form of seizures. CBD has shown efficacy for, that rare form of seizures. Outside of that, the FDA has not found any established medical uses for CBD. We hear a lot of anecdotes out there that you mentioned, anxiety, depression, Parkinson's, et cetera, pain. But we have not seen scientific evidence to support medical uses for CBD for any of those other things.
Really? Because I know somebody, I'll give you two examples. One person had trouble sleeping, right? And she bought some sort of CBD gummies and says they work great. But then again, maybe it's a placebo effect on her. I don't know. And then the other was a person with back pain that had you know, this cream put on it. And again, maybe it was the, you know, the whatever the other, the menthol or whatever it was in there that made the person feel like there was relief. So there's no scientific study that CBD products actually
work. No, and you know what's funny about that? Yeah, and Drew, you know what's funny about that second anecdote that you gave is that CBD is not absorbed topically. CBD is actually not absorbed through your skin scientifically. So the person who, you know, and they still sell those creams, which is, is just hilarious.
It was $67. It was like $68 for the jar of cream person had. I was like, oh my God, $68 for a cream? I hope it works.
I know, and it does not absorb through the skin. So, you know, that you're supposed to take it orally because it doesn't absorb through your skin. So that's what's kind of interesting about that anecdote. But yeah, the placebo effect is very strong. There's a reason why in clinical trials, when we look at medications, they always have a placebo trial because, you know, when people think something's going to work, the power of the mind is really incredible, particularly when it comes to pain, which has to do with the mindset. So, you know, there are those anecdotes out there. You know, maybe some of these will become proven in future studies and we'll see that. But right now, the literature doesn't really support that. And unfortunately, what we're seeing with these CBD products that are being sold is that there's no regulation of them because companies have gone out and started selling CBD before the FDA has issued its regulations on how all that's supposed to work. So, you know, none of these products are being regulated or tested. Some of these are found to have molds, pesticides, metals in them. Yep. Some of them are found to actually have THC in them, not CBD. So really, you know, the Wild West right now is really CBD.
Yeah, it's such a great point because I was doing some research before the show on that, and I found the same thing regarding these CBD products. I thought, well, you know, if they don't have THC in them, are there any problems? And you're right, mold, they don't know. There's no standard for how they're made. There's chemicals, household chemicals, they said they found in some of them. And there's stuff that you just would not want to ingest. Hey, if you want to join us, let me open the phone. My guest today, Luke Niforatos. I only have maybe another 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. Love to hear your experience. You can ask your question. You can get in on the conversation. As marijuana begins to become more commonplace, I think CBD products probably will as well. Luke says it is the Wild West for them, trying to bring you up to speed on what you need to know about cannabis and CBD and hemp. The number to get in, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Before I go to the phones, Luke, let me ask you about drug testing. I for somebody who would take an oral CBD gummy or some other product, however it's, you know, I don't know how they infuse this stuff, would that cause somebody to fail a drug test?
No. Nope. So the drug test is going to look for THC. That's the ingredient that gets you high from the marijuana plant. CBD will not cause you to fail a drug test. And what I will say, too, is, you know, I'm not, you know, going to say, oh, you know, CBD is some horrible thing. But what I will say is that, you know, right now, it's not technically legal in the way that it's being sold because companies haven't waited for the regulations. They haven't waited for the FDA's oversight. They've just started selling it, and we just don't know what's in there. So, you know, my recommendation to folks who are curious about it is wait until, you know, these companies are submitted to the FDA's regulations and following laws. Right now, they're just kind of putting the cart before the horse.
And as a Catholic, I mean, I always look at the morality of the issue. And I think you and I have talked about marijuana in the past. CBD, if it doesn't get you high, it's not immoral to take, right?
You know, I think, you know, that's a question that we all have to go to, you know, in our faith. My personal belief, I have the faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to Jesus and consult that in my prayers and read the Bible and try to make a wise decision off of that. For me personally, you know, I wouldn't use CBD. You know, that for me, that's something that would trouble me in my relationship with Christ. But I think that's something every believer has to consult their Bible and consult
that,
with Christ on.
Fill me in, why is that? Because, I mean, if it doesn't get you high, your concern is just what's in it, maybe? I mean, I'm curious as to
that. I think, you know, my issue with CBD is that, first of all, there's a lot of snake oil out there, you know, and so I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to take aloe vera to try to help me with my back pain, you know, either, even though there's all kinds of snake oil claims about aloe vera. You know, I just, you know, I'm not going to look to kind of the latest fad as a way to kind of bring a miraculous healing. I believe I've need to look to Christ, my Savior, for miraculous healing, and obviously use medicines. But you know, if my doctor said, you know, look, this is an efficacious medication and you should use it, I think that'd be something different. But the CBD that's out there is it's being sold by companies and entrepreneurs that want to make money that are making wild claims about it and selling it off, you know, in head shops, to be frank. And so I don't get my medicine from head shops, personally.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That would be my concern.
Again, my concern without any FDA control, are you getting molds? Are you getting metals? Are you getting particles? Are you getting household cleaners?
Yeah, exactly.
And is there THC? That's a good point, too. So, all right, let's take a call or two. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Ralph in California, good afternoon.
Hi, did you say Ralph?
Yeah, it's you. Good afternoon.
I was wondering about CBN because I've been using CBD drops to fall asleep at night. I mean, I cannot fall asleep, severe insomnia, and I used to drink tons of alcohol, but I on the CBN or CBD, and then I just found out this weekend that it's actually CBN that puts you to sleep. And I'm wondering if you've ever heard about CBN. And then I also just wanted to say, when I was put on hold, I heard you guys talking about topical. For me and my wife, that topical stuff works great. It's actually miraculous. I don't know how, but it works great.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, CBN.
All right. Thank you. I've never heard of CBN. And one note before Luke responds to you, you never want to drink to fall asleep. I know you might think it'll relax you, but you know all the studies have been done to say that it really does disturb your sleep patterns. So I would stay away from alcohol too close to your bedtime. But CBN, it sounds like a Christian broadcast network. I never heard of CBN. What do you know about it?
I was just going to say that. We hear about a new component of this plant every day and kind of its purported, you know, miraculous benefits. No, I have not heard of CBN, but, you know, I'm sure it's one of the many hundreds of components of the marijuana plant. So I'd have to look into that. But I haven't seen any studies or anything like that on CBN. But I will say, I'm glad you're getting help, but I would be very cautious about where you're getting it from and really judicious about what might be in it.
If you're just tuning in, my guest today, Luke Neferatos, he's Executive Vice President of Smart Approaches to Marijuana. You can learn about him at online by going to learnaboutsam.org. Pretty easy website to remember. Earlier this year, Luke, the House passed a bill that would remove marijuana from the banned drug list. I don't know whether we'll see marijuana decriminalized in the country. Where does that stand right now? I know there's going to be a change in the upcoming election, so I don't know whether the future of that is bright or dim. What do you see coming?
Yeah, so legalization of marijuana is dead in the water. It did pass, you know, the MORE Act is what you're referring to. Yeah. It passed the House. It's one of the worst legalization of marijuana bills ever. And obviously I'm not going to really agree with legalizing marijuana, but this one's particularly bad. There's no regulations in it, no public health guardrails, no, you know, sensible restrictions to protect youth and public health and addiction and all those kinds of things. So it's just a really, really bad bill that actually received bipartisan opposition in the House, but it did narrowly pass. It was 10 vote margin, but it did pass. It's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. It's dead on arrival in the Senate. So that's kind of where it stands right now. And really, you know, the Senate, there's really no appetite. There's more than half a dozen Democrats in the Senate and obviously scores of Republicans in the Senate who are opposed to the idea of legalizing it. And, you know, I will say it's important to note, too, the difference between legalization and decriminalization. So, you hear the term decriminalization of marijuana out there. And decriminalization is about, you know, lowering the penalties for low-level possession of marijuana. You know, if you're going to have a joint in your pocket, you're going to, you know, smoke in your own home, that can be decriminalized where, you know, you're not getting a criminal record for that. But that's different from legalization of marijuana, which is what the MORE Act seeks to do and what people who want to legalize it seek to do, which is about commercializing it, making money off the drug, producing it, you know, promoting it, advertising it, the cookies, the gummies, the stores, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's really what legalization is about.
Hey, you know, we already have a couple of states that are the leaders in this. Colorado is one of those states in the forefront of this experiment. What's happening in those states where marijuana has been, you know, legal, well, I would say legalized, where recreational marijuana, and there's a lot of states now, has been used by the people? Are we seeing higher DUI rates? Are we seeing gateway into other drug use? Are we seeing greater revenue come into the economy and that in turn going into the educational system and doing good for the citizens? I mean, are there pros and cons to this? And what are those first states who kind of led the way in this? They're kind of the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
What have we learned?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Hello.
Drew.
Yeah, go right ahead. I'm sorry that a phone clicked. Go right ahead. Is Luke there?
Colorado, my state. Oh, are you going to the phone or you want me to
answer? No, it's all you, Luke. I have another line got accidentally fired. Go right ahead.
No worries. Yeah, so I was born and raised, or not born in Colorado, but just about. I was raised in Colorado from the age of 7. I've seen my state, before, during, and after legalization. Colorado is the first state in the country to legalize marijuana for recreational use. So, we're kind of the ones that have really been the guinea pig. And, everything you listed off there, kind of all the promises, right, that we would make tons of money, opioids would go away, people would substitute opioids for marijuana, the tax revenue would go to our schools, and, all kinds of promises were made. And unfortunately, every single one of those promises was completely empty. I'm working on the issue that I'm working on and have been working on it for over 5 years because I have two little girls. And when I, a couple months before I joined SAM, my wife and I were taking our, then we only had one daughter. We now have two daughters. Our eldest, we were taking her on a walk in her stroller. She's about 10 months old. We're walking down the sidewalk in Denver and she's sleeping in her stroller. And as we're walking, somebody lights up a joint and the smoke from the joint just engulfs her stroller. She's sleeping. She's breathing in that smoke. As parents, we're both kind of just quietly acknowledging that this is happening. There's nothing we can do about it. She's a victim to that. And my wife turns to me and she goes, this seems to happen just about every time we take her for a walk in the city. And I said, you're absolutely right. And we need to do something about it because no parent should have to face that issue on top of tobacco smoke, on top of all the other toxins we have to face. Now we have this. And so, it's a passion project for me. Kids are absolutely impacted by it. We've seen, our rates of youth use of marijuana go way up since we legalized it. The opioid issue. Look, we've literally seen increases in opioid overdose deaths every single year since we legalized marijuana. Now, do I have the proof that, we legalized marijuana and it caused that to happen? No, I don't. But I can tell you that legalizing marijuana didn't decrease our opioid issue in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's important that people know that. And as far as the roads go, the roads have been much more dangerous. We saw a doubling in the people dying on the roads from marijuana-impaired drivers. So people getting high, getting behind the wheel, killing somebody on the road, that's more than doubled since we legalized it. So, we've seen a lot of those issues play out, Drew.
Well, let's move along. We'll take a few calls. Thank you for that, Luke. Chad's in the Twin Cities. Chad, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I had a question and a comment. The first is the question, if THC is prescribed by a doctor for some malady, let's say pain, is that an immoral issue?
No, not at all. Any more than taking, some sort of other painkiller would be. You can certainly take it. If your doctor prescribes it and he thinks that's the proper treatment for you, I would go along with it. If you're not comfortable with it, you could ask him for something else.
No, yeah, I would say the operative word there, Chad, is prescribed. So, in states that have legalized, medical marijuana, that's not actually a prescription. That's not a medical drug that you're getting, a dose, you're getting refills, you're told exactly how much to take and for how long and how many times a day. That does not happen with what we're seeing, with quote unquote medical marijuana. What we do see though is the FDA did approve a drug called Marinol, which is pure THC. And that is something you can get a prescription for from your doctor, and it has dosage and all that. So I would say it's just important to make that distinction because, no doctor can prescribe, quote unquote, medical marijuana out there. So it's just important that you know that difference.
Thank you. Well, and the comment I had was that I don't think we should fool ourselves that it ends here. Just like marijuana is oftentimes the gateway drug for harder drugs, I don't think the agenda stops with marijuana. I think the proponents of that are looking for full legalization of all drugs, frankly. That's just a prediction. Maybe I'll be wrong, but
you're absolutely right. No, Chad, you're absolutely right.
You think this is the big picture, that, like Chad, that, hey, once we legalize marijuana, then we'll do the same thing? Was it Seattle that tried this, and we're just seeing absolute chaos?
Yeah, Chad is Yeah, Chad is very prescient with his comments there because he's right on the money. So what we're seeing a few different things happen in the drug policy space. So first of all, the psychedelics movement is in full swing. We have ballot measure here in Colorado, a ballot measure already passed in Oregon to legalize, quote unquote, medical magic mushrooms. So it's the same plan that they did with medical marijuana. Now it's medical magic mushrooms. Other psychedelics are looking to be legalized as well on the recreational side. Then we saw Oregon also vote in the same year that they passed medical magic mushrooms. They also passed decriminalization of all drugs. And so what that means is if you're 14 years old and you get caught using heroin in Oregon, you can pay a $100 fine and your parents will never hear a word about it.
Wow.
It's not going to go on your record. So yeah, they won't do a thing about it either. So there's been a bunch of reporting on Oregon actually just this last week on how horrible that program has gone, how it's just enabled drug use and drug trafficking. So I encourage folks to check that out. But nope, Chad was right on. They're pushing to legalize all drugs. There's an organization called the Drug Policy Alliance, which their stated mission is to legalize all drugs. They've gotten $200 million from George Soros and they continue to lobby for that literally today. So, yeah, it does not stop with marijuana. And that's what we were told in Colorado, but it does not stop there.
Well, a lot of calls. Kathy in Providence says, hey, she's a nurse. She's seen great results of CBDs and thinks there should be further studies. Brenda in Traverse City, Michigan says it doesn't work for me. I got sick on CBD gummies. And a lot of other questions here for you, a lot of comments. I just can't get into all of them right now because I'm up against the clock. But I want to thank you for being with us. Before I let you go, though, I'm going to be talking about fentanyl coming up. This is a major concern for me because we're seeing it being pumped across the border. You know, we know China's involved.
Yep.
We see the cartels down in Mexico, and we see the death rate in this country skyrocketing. Addiction's just an epidemic in this country right now. Your insight on fentanyl, if you could just speak to that for a moment, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, fentanyl is a frightening crisis that's raging across our country right now. And so I'll just give you a few things you really need to know about this. So first of all, you know, we are hearing a lot about a poison drug supply. So people addicted to heroin, they don't know fentanyl's in there and they die because fentanyl can kill you. Just a tiny little drop of fentanyl can kill you. And so there is an issue with the poison drug supply, like it is being mixed into some of these other drugs. But it's important to note that folks who are addicted to heroin and these other drugs, they're in a situation of hopeless addiction. Fentanyl comes into play. It's a very potent drug with a very potent high. They're getting addicted to fentanyl directly. And so there are a growing number of people across this country who they're not, you know, accidentally taking fentanyl. They are choosing to take fentanyl. And because, you know, addiction is a disease of the mind, it makes you irrational. It makes you make irrational decisions. You know, these users, they're taking their hit of fentanyl to fix their addiction. And they know that every single hit could possibly kill them. It's a horrific place to be. We have to intervene in the lives of these addicts ASAP. We need to get them services and make sure that they're getting treatment, because if you leave somebody in addiction to fentanyl, that every single time they use it, it could be the last time they use it. So we've got to get them help. And certainly the wrong thing to do right now is to provide them a cleaner form of drugs, which is what some people are saying. We need to get them an intervention and get them into treatment and get them help.
Luke, thanks for being here. I always appreciate your insight and your expertise, and I hope people will check out your organization. It's called Smart Approaches to Marijuana. You can find them online at learnaboutsam.org. That's SAM.org. Hey, we'll catch up again soon. I appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, Drew. God bless you. It's always a pleasure to be on, and everyone have a great day.
God bless you. Stay with me. When I come back, we will continue the conversation. I'll take a look at what is a real threat, I think, to our nation, and that is fentanyl. Some are calling it a weapon of mass destruction. I'll tell you why.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
A record 100,000 Americans dying from ODs last year. An organization called Families Against Fentanyl is asking the Biden administration to count fentanyl poisoning and overdose deaths the same way it counts COVID-19 deaths. They claim the data could help medical officials pinpoint hot spots and surge resources to save lives.
You got to treat it like mass murder, 100,000.
These deaths, it really is another a major bipartisan issue. This does not discriminate for the families that are Republicans or Democrats. This is actually hurting everyone.
The distinction between fentanyl and drugs. Mm-hmm. There's a drug overdose, and then there is a poisoning. If there's a poisoning, that is a crime.
Yep.
That is a manslaughter.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Deaths due to fentanyl poisoning have risen to epidemic proportions here in the U.S. That was some audio and exchange there amongst the members of the Five on Fox. I thought they brought up some pretty valid points there. And I thought we'd take a look at this. We talked about, you know, marijuana and CBD and trying to get our head around that issue. The one issue that is now being called a weapon of mass destruction is fentanyl. It should give every American pause. And as you just heard, this is not a partisan issue. This should concern all of us. In Giles County, Tennessee, the local sheriff issued a warning to the general public not to pick up folded dollar bills that might be lying on the ground. You might say, why? Why not? Right? There's money on the ground. They've had two of them turned in by citizens because they had white powder on them, right? It was a powdery substance. When they tested it, it turned out that the substance was a mixture of methamphetamine and fentanyl. Yeah, scary stuff, right? Meth, of course, is bad, but fentanyl, as you heard Luke Nefirotis just talk about, far worse. It's a synthetic opioid. Only takes just, a couple grains of it, really, to do its job. Anything over that, you can easily overdose. And from the news, you hear how this is being cut in and mixed in to so many other products that people now are getting high with, and it's causing lives, hundreds of thousands of them now. And you know, the CDC, they issued a report, and they said that more than 150 people die every day, 150 every day from overdoses related to fentanyl, synthetic opioids like fentanyl. But fentanyl overdosing is the leading cause of death for adults 18 to 45 in this country. I mean, that to me was the most stunning of all the stats I read. The leading cause of death for adults 18 to 45 years in our country, 18 to 45 years of age, it's not cancer, it's not car accidents, it's not gun violence, it's fentanyl. 18 to 45, that there's a war on the family, I'll tell you what. The CDC says that even the smallest amount can lead to an overdose. That's what makes it so scary. A part of the problem is drug dealers are using fentanyl as a filler with other drugs. People can't see it, taste it, smell it. And right now, fentanyl is overrunning the drug trade here in the U.S. A lot of it, China is actually bringing a lot of the chemicals, a lot of the fentanyl, getting it to Mexico. Mexico they're kind of the mules, the cartels getting it across our borders, which are quite porous right now in the South. And what do we see? We see a rise of death here in our country. It's gone from a rare thing to a common thing, which is why I think the overdose rate is so high. There is a congresswoman from Colorado, thinks that she's got the solution to the problem. And she's the one who came up with this phrase. She says, declare fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. Declare it that. Right now, the Department of Homeland Security is the only federal agency that can try to stop it from coming into our country. But if you classified it as a weapon of mass destruction, you know what that would do? That would allow the DHS, it would allow the Justice Department, it would allow the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Defense Department to coordinate on getting rid of it. And I say, let's pull out all the stops. Let's keep America safe. Let's keep our kids safe. Let's keep that 18 to 45-year-old demographic, you know, let's keep them safe. A deacon, Ernie Martinez, joins. I always want to say Martinez. It's a deacon. Ernie Martinez is a deacon in Notre Dame Parish in Denver. He joins me many times here. He was a narcotics police officer at large. He's also an at-large representative to the National Narcotic Officers Association Coalition and a great contributor to the program here over the years, giving us his street expertise, his view from the eyes of a Catholic deacon, and so much more. It's good to have him back with us. Deacon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. And you're right, it is Martinez. So
yeah, I was going to ask you. Is it Martinez? Yeah, I would go Martinez. But I said, well, maybe it's Martinez. I better get it right.
You know, I've been called a lot worse. So, yeah, that's perfect.
Well, I get the same thing. I'm Marinara, Mariucci, Mariani, you know, people butcher the name.
There you go.
I love it.
Right.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. This fentanyl issue, I've been monitoring, I've been watching it for months now, and I saw these numbers. I couldn't believe the demographic that's dying from it. I can understand how it's getting here, but I'd love your take on just how bad it is out there. What are you seeing on the streets? What do you know? And give us your perspective.
Sure. Well, it's very underreported. Let's get that fact right out there. So, you know, we have all the reported about 120,000 in 2021 that we've lost to ODs or poisonings of fentanyl. And it's going to continue to get, you know, worse and worse because of reporting mechanisms being enhanced and the awareness and the education programs and pieces are really getting a lot better. However, the addiction pieces, exacerbated by COVID and the lockdowns, especially the lockdowns, have really given rise to drugs of abuse and fentanyl being the latest and the greatest, pardon the pun, of the weapon of choice for these drug dealers and these cartels, and including China, who are sending these drugs through our porous borders at this point. The unfortunate thing is we're continuing to see overdoses and poisonings left and right in our communities alone. You know, here in Denver, we just had finished 2 weeks ago, had a two-day fentanyl summit, which involved state, local, and federal law enforcement just getting together in one place and talking about the impact of fentanyl from a public health standpoint, from a law enforcement standpoint, from a mental health standpoint. And the bottom line is no one has the answers. And I think one of the latest things is we have, like everything starts in Colorado relating to drugs and those types of things. We do have a representative from Colorado, Lauren Boebert, who just dropped this bill that where she wants to have fentanyl designated as a WMD, which, you know, I have some pending on. But at the same time, I want to ask the question, why stop with fentanyl? Simply because the drugs of cocaine and methamphetamine for years have been a weapon of mass destruction as well. And let me tell you this quick story. But,
please.
You know, at 7 p.m. on February 23rd of 1942 now, when most people listen to President Roosevelt's fireside chat, right, a Japanese submarine surfaced 12 miles west of Santa Barbara, California, all right, and near a rich oil field there, near a beach called Elwood Beach. And according to the newspaper at the time, this submarine lobbed 16 shells into the tidewater field, and the residents heard these strange explosions. But the marksmanship was very poor, and Tokyo claimed the raid was a great military success at the time. Now, the reality of the damage was no more than, at that time, about $500. But nonetheless, that was the first attack on our mainland since the War of 1812, and the last before September 11th of 2001, the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington, D.C. But yet, Drew, every day on the streets of America, we're being chemically attacked by people who are driving these drugs across the border, that are flying it, that are walking it across the bridges, that are coming in cargo ships, that are unsecured, that are not searched, and they're flooding our streets with these poisons. And the top poison that we're talking about today is fentanyl. So we're seeing an exacerbation of public health going to the walls with problems with families, broken up families, with addictions and lack of proper treatment, with the lack of accountability, with judicial non-compliance, simply because of the soft-on-crime approach. I heard you talk with my good friend Luke just prior to this, and, you know, mentioning the loose policy, drug policies of certain states, including some in Colorado, that are, you know, lessening and normalizing street drugs and small possessions, quote unquote, of an ounce and under of hard drugs that are just a slap in the hand. And without those accountability pieces, which we've used for years and years in jurisprudence with trying to attack addictions and stop people from using and keeping the bright lines in a civilized society, we're losing that. And all the gain we have for 50 years of children aged 12 and under wanting to try any type of illegal drug.
Wow, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. My guest today, Deacon Ernie Martinez. If you want to join us, feel free to do so. I've got to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more taking a look at literally a poisoning of America, fentanyl, you know, crossing our borders and taking a lot of innocent life, taking a look at just how bad it is out there and how you can stay safe. Our conversation, your comments, and more when I return. Stay with me. You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
You can't be a half saint, be a whole saint, or nothing at all. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. If you're just getting tuned in, we're taking a look at, the war on drugs, if you will. And there really is a war right now in our country when it comes to fentanyl and the rising death rate. There's a representative from Colorado. She's a Republican. Her name is Lauren Boebert. And she's looking to classify fentanyl, the synthetic opioid fentanyl, as a weapon of mass destruction. She actually introduced what she's calling the... Fentanyl is a WMD Act, and it's a bill that looks to classify this dangerous opioid as a weapon that could cause widespread death. And clearly, we are seeing it. There's no doubt in my mind. And if she does that, it has a lot of advantages to it. Right now, the bill has several House co-sponsors, and this is a nonpartisan issue, I think. I can't see why something like this would be obstructed. My guest today understands this intimately, and it's great to have with me Deacon Martin. I want to call him Martin now. I'm so tired. Deacon Ernie Martinez. Deacon, it's good to have you back. He's a narcotics police officer and an at-large representative of the National Narcotics Officers Association Coalition. Your take on this act, how likely is it that it will pass? What kind of opposition do you think we're going to see? And do you think it will be fruitful?
Yeah, thank you for that, Drew. I think it's too early to tell, but I think it's it's a move in the right direction at the right time. And I'll tell you that is, you know, the weapon of mass destruction is truly defined as, you know, nuclear, radiological, chemical, biological weapons, or other devices that are intended to harm on a large number of people. If you keep in mind this is, you know, it's reported by several places that fentanyl has already been used as a weapon of mass destruction in 2002. The Russian military deployed it as an aerosolized form of fentanyl against terrorists holding hostages in a Moscow theater. I don't know if you remember that story, but that's exactly what they utilized. So you could say that it has been used as a weapon of mass destruction in that type of realm. So I think it's a good move. What this bill does also, what I really kind of like, but it truly doesn't stop there, is bringing all the tools of the federal government. That means bringing the agencies like, you know, DEA and FBI and Department of Homeland Security, everybody, to work together to stop this. But the bottom line is we need the countries like Mexico, like China, to cooperate in this type of endeavor to stop these. But the unfortunate thing is because of corruption, because of certain politicians in other countries that are compromised, namely the south of the border, it's going to be very hard to get them to the table to stop this because it's all about the bottom dollar. It's all about keeping people addicted. The United States is the number one consumer in the world of illegal narcotics, right? The United States is also the number one consumer in the world of sugar. Now, you look at the marketing ploys that big pharma and big commercialized companies that produce sugar drinks and candies and all the high-carb foods that we consume on a daily basis. They utilize those same type of marketing strategies because they know of the ability of addictions and they know how the brain works to give us those types of pleasures. right? And those pleasures are chemically formed and they're chemically inducing. So they're utilizing science to the degree that we're losing generations of people to addiction and the loss of lives. And that's the unfortunate thing. But this bill, I think it comes at a good time. I hope it is a nonpartisan all the way through, but it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Let's zoom out for a minute, though, too. Okay, we have the problem here, but what's the root of it? A couple things. Internationally, let's talk about China. I know the Montana, I think the Attorney General there, the AG, he made a big point of saying, hey, these ingredients for the fentanyl, it's coming from China. China's sending those raw ingredients to these Mexican cartels. They're making this garbage, and then they're smuggling it across our borders. Would you say China's at war with us in some respects? I mean, they know that this is hitting American soil. They know this is killing American men and women. The cartels don't care about human life. They're all about making money. How do you see this playing out in terms of the international characters?
Well, I think China and a lot of the other, like Russia, have been in asymmetrical war with the United States from the get-go. I mean, you look at the surveillance platforms, you look at cyber attacks and cybersecurity warfare. I mean, it's all cyber warfare. It's been going on, misinformation warfare. So, yes, asymmetrical warfare has been ongoing for many years. And why not utilize chemical warfare as that? You know, chemical warfare that America is so insatiable with pleasure. Why don't we addict everybody? You know, it's like you look at the botulinum toxin, right? It's classified as a weapon of mass destruction in the United States, but its legal form, Botox, is allowed in medical settings, right? They're utilizing the same thing with fentanyl and the analogs. The thing is China has produced and has supplied the cartels in Mexico with the analogs and with the precursors to develop fentanyl to the degree that it's so highly refined. And then we find it in counterfeit pills that people think there are other types of pills like Xanax and those types of things that are laced with fentanyl to get people addicted. The unfortunate thing is there's top-notch chemists that are moving from other countries, including China, to Mexico, and Mexico is producing those same analogs. So no matter what's going to be illegal on the federal level or even at the state level, stopping fentanyl in judicial ways, the bottom line is there's going to be a new analog the next week or the next month, and we're playing catch-up. But it's a good start, and it's the right direction, in my opinion.
So how do we counter this? I mean, it's troubling. I hate to even report on this or talk about this because I'm thinking if it's that easy to constantly make those changes and pump this poison into this country, how do we win this battle? And I guess you got to also look at what's driving people to use these drugs right now. And I would think there's a certain emptiness, something they're longing for, and God is always that solution. Can the church address this? So there's a lot I just threw out there, but I'm curious as to how we counter this and why we were seeing it in terms of your view.
You know, St. Bonaventure said that since happiness is nothing other than the enjoyment of the highest good, and since the highest good is above, then no one can be happy unless he rises above himself or herself, and not by an ascent of the body, but by the heart, right? And I think that hits the point. Is it comes down to us being in our baptismal promises of being that priest, prophet, and king, to be that priest today to offer the sacrifices of our body to do good in our community, to not shy away from helping each other in a tangible way, right? Pushing good policies, speaking out, being vocal, to be that prophet to tell the truth in our communities and not to be shy to practice your faith in a most public way, right? And to be that king to take care of your families and your extended families and those around you, the poor and the orphans of our community. That's how we change it. We change the paradigm of our living, and we change the way by example of being a priest, prophet, and king. It's not going to be overnight. But the thing is we know that we're in that in-between time when our Lord himself redeemed us by his sacrifice on that Roman instrument of torture, the cross. So it's up to us on an everyday basis to take the bull by the horns and be bold, and let's go out there and let's make a change.
Amen to that. Let's take a quick call in. Richard's listening in Madison, Wisconsin. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. A quick comment. One flaw I see in all this is that, frankly, I don't trust this administration to use the law in the manner intended. I mean, the fact is they know full well fentanyl is coming to the border, and they don't do anything about it. And this administration, I suspect, given the fact that they tried to declare parents complaining school board meetings terrorists and engage in various other things, my suspicions are that if a law like this is passed, they'd more likely declare ivermectin to be a weapon of mass destruction used to treat SARS-CoV-2 than they would fentanyl. I mean, I'm being very cynical, but this is the way they're acting.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the one flaw I see in this.
Yeah, well, it's a good point, Richard. Let me let the Deacon Martinez respond to that. I mean, we do have a real border problem, and it doesn't seem like the administration wants to remedy that, and there may be other political reasons for that. Are they willing to allow fentanyl come across the borders for those other ideologies or those other reasons? Your thought and on Richard's comments there, I only have about a minute left for you.
Sure, thank you. You know, I think the bottom line is this is, you know, we do have porous borders, and there's no doubt in my mind, we're being Pollyanna if we don't think so otherwise, that so many illegal drugs are crossing over the border in so many different ways, not just on mules, but so many different conveyances and vehicles that aren't being checked and those types of things. We have a morale problem with our law enforcement officers in the border due to the fact of what's going on lately with this administration. So the thing is, we do need to tighten up. We do need to tighten up for a lot of different reasons, including the chemical attacks that are coming in our streets. So I think one of the bottom line is the other thing to keep in mind is just the accountability piece is a huge, huge piece. So for us to push change in our communities, those politicians and those judges, you know, yesterday's recent example of losing two El Monte police officers killed in line of duty, right? They were killed by a previously convicted felon on probation for a gun charge. This dude should have been in jail, should have been locked up. But the unfortunate thing is the reality of policy needs to change.
Amen.
And because of that, we need to be active.
Well, Deacon, I got to leave it right there. I am very thankful for all that you do. Keep up your beautiful work. Say a prayer for Deacon Ernie Martinez and say a prayer for me. I'll pray for you.